Bizarre Thing is a weekly podcast going over the movies releasing this week.
And whatever movie-related tangents we decide to venture off on today.
Hello and welcome to Movies Are a Thing. My name is John.
And I'm Travis, and here are the movies premiering this week.
But before we do that, Travis.
Yes, sir.
How's it going, man?
Good, man. Your ability to like get me is pretty good. Like you spot on.
It's because we have the same humor.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
And I know
yes,
what
we
makes
do.
Me laugh.
Yup.
Oh,
all right.
Made myself cry again.
Oh no.
Oh, okay.
All right. So my week.
Yes.
It's been good. Just been working like normal. I did see a few movies.
Yeah.
So let's get down to brass tacks. All right. So first one I watched was Monkey Man.
Yes.
I liked it.
Okay.
It is Dev Patel's first outing as a director, and I thought he did a very good job. It's very beautiful looking. It's very gritty, very violent. It's like a John Wick movie. It's full of like Indian culture, which is what you would expect from a movie like that, because it's, I mean, centered around India and things like that. So, it's good. I would recommend it. I didn't see it on the biggest screen possible, but yeah, I would recommend it. Go see it if you have the chance.
Very nice.
The second movie I watched was Civil War.
How was that?
That was very good.
Was it what we were thinking? Just kind of edgier seat the entire time? Just kind of...
It is 2 hours, white knuckle the entire time.
Perfect.
I watched it on our Eiffel screen here at St. Michael Cinema.
Thank you for sponsoring us, St. Michael Cinema.
Yes,
we do appreciate
you.
That.
Yes, we appreciate it. And it is, yeah, I would recommend seeing it on the biggest screen possible because it definitely deserves it for just the sheer scope of everything, the sound, the just everything. It's amazing. I think it's Alex Garland's best.
Very nice. Fantastic.
And then the third movie I watched was Sting, which is the big spider movie.
Which is the no from me, dog.
Exactly. And I thought it was okay, better than I expected. And a little bit higher budget than I was expecting. It was giving me Evil Dead vibes because a lot of it is practical effects.
Okay. Okay.
Especially for like the close-up spider shots. Obviously, they do have like the CGI spider in there.
Right. Right.
But a lot of it is practical and it's awesome. And if you like a good cheesy horror movie with a big spider, arachnid animal in general, I would recommend it. So
very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
How about you? Did you watch anything?
I enjoyed the weather this weekend.
Nice.
And by enjoyed the weather, I mean I got stuff done outside.
Okay.
Which they didn't drop off our siding for our garage that I know of. I haven't seen them yet, but okay. Which... By the time that we're recording here, I would guess that they are not dropping it off today when they are supposed to have.
What do you mean? I mean, it's not like it's
10 o'clock
at night. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, about that. Basically, I was trying to get stuff ready for that. And then I was running around just trying to get stuff going for just... getting ready for spring here now.
Sure.
You know, it was beautiful this weekend.
Yeah, sure. Well, especially on Saturday and Sunday, yeah.
Yes. And so Sunday I spent most of my day outside actually, you know, burning some of the brush and the wood that we have that kind of has piled up.
Sure.
And then, yeah, Saturday I got some errands done and actually went out and celebrated a birthday, not my birthday.
Nice, okay.
Had some ramen. It was good.
Ooh. You made it at home ramen or like you actually went out and had like ramen someplace?
Like went out someplace and had ramen.
Ooh, so you had the good ramen.
Yes. Okay. Yes, very much
that,
so.
The packaged ramen is bad, but...
It kind of is. I mean, it's good for how cheap it is, but...
Oh, sure, right.
Mm. But when you can get actual ramen...
Oh, exactly.
It was good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, other than that, just kind of trying to get stuff going, trying to get stuff, you know, actually working correctly, and time flew by.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we can get you to come by here and come see some of these movies that you haven't seen yet.
I know.
Like, I know you need to see Dune still.
I still need to see Dune. I need to see Ghostbusters. I need to see possibly Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can handle it right now, but...
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just kind of... I was going through all the movies, like Monkey Man as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just ones that are still here.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I was going through our list of movies that we've gone through since the beginning of the year, even. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, man, I am missing so many movies right now.
Right.
It's disturbing.
So, speaking of Civil War, you've seen the trailer for it, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You remember in the trailer with Jesse Plemons?
Mm-hmm.
And how tense, like, that part is in the trailer?
Mm-hmm.
That is the most tense part in the movie.
Okay. Okay. I mean, saying stuff, you know, saying the rest of the movie is less tense than that isn't saying much.
I mean, it's very tense in general, but yeah. Like that's the most tense that I felt.
Right.
Watching right. that, yeah.
Right. Okay. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. There are just so many movies, but at the end of the day, I go back to movies that I've already watched and
sure.
You know, it's kind of like one of those comfort things. Now,
exactly.
If we were playing a movie here that I really enjoy,
mm-hmm.
like, say, Shaun of the Dead, but we know that'll never happen, right?
Yeah, of course. Now, why would that ever happen? I mean, that's how many years old now?
20 years old. Which, speaking of Shaun of the Dead, apparently it's coming back to cinemas.
What?
I know. No, we don't know if it's coming back to the U.S. yet. I couldn't find anything in the small amount of research I was able to do.
Okay.
But Edgar Wright did put something out on Instagram, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and basically said, you know, with the 20th anniversary of Shaun of the Dead coming up, that it is coming back to cinemas.
Okay.
Because he's British, so. But, yeah, that is one. Well, we were just talking about it. Mm-hmm. I watched that on the plane ride.
Oh, right, yep.
And, yeah, as of... April 9th, it was 20 years old.
Jeez. Wow. Yeah, that's the one part of the Cornetto trilogy I have not seen in theaters. So if it comes here, I really look forward to it.
Let me see if I can find something here quick.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it does say hitting theaters later on, too. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, I'm really hoping because I would love to see Shaun of the Dead.
Most definitely.
I know we were talking about it before. Basically, the only one that I was able to see in theaters was World's End.
Okay.
And I know you said that you were able to watch Hot Fuzz, right?
I was, yeah. I've seen both Hot Fuzz and World's End in theaters.
So lucky.
Yeah.
But now we might be able to see Shaun of the Dead.
I hope so. That would be so cool.
That would be amazing. I would love it. Just do a Cornetto trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make a day of it.
Yes. Well, then... At that point, they should just send theaters, like, the Cornetto, like, ice cream cones
mm-hmm.
and sell those, too, along with it.
Instead of, I got it. Okay, here's this.
Okay.
Instead of a standee of, like, the three movies,
mm-hmm.
just have a fence and just say, never taken a shortcut.
I like it. Okay.
That'd be awesome. But yeah, so I mean, like I said, 20th anniversary of Shaun of the Dead.
Wow.
Not only that, but we have word now that for the 10th anniversary of Interstellar, that's 10 years old already, it is coming back to IMAX. So if you did not get a chance to see Interstellar on IMAX,
mm-hmm.
Now you will be able to.
Okay.
Which, fun fact, because I love physical copies of movies,
mm-hmm.
When I bought Interstellar, I actually bought the one that has a frame of the 70mm IMAX.
Oh, okay. Like for
film.
The print of it?
Yeah, okay. From the actual print.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I couldn't think of the word there for a second.
No, you're good.
It's been a long day. So, yeah, 2014 Interstellar came out.
Ow.
Murph! Don't go, Murph! Don't let me go!
That's the one Christopher Nolan movie that I could live without.
Really?
Like, it's just an okay movie to me. I didn't think it was like, oh my gosh, I need to rewatch it over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that's just my opinion, though. I know that there's lots of people out there that are like, this is the best movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, that's their opinion, and they can have it.
Exactly. But yeah, so surprise Matt Damon.
Right? Matt Damon.
But yeah, so that is coming back. I don't know. I'm just trying to think here. This fall is when it will come back. Okay. Into theaters, come back into IMAX for its 10th anniversary, 70 millimeter for the 10th anniversary.
Well, cowabunga.
So, speaking of the Ninja Turtles, I apparently am having trouble talking today. We are actually going to get an R-rated live-action Ninja Turtles movie.
I'm so excited. Okay.
But this one is actually based off of The Last Ronin.
Okay.
Which is a very kind of gritty... comic book of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Right.
Where I believe, I don't know, do you know, have you heard of The Last Ronin?
So I do, I've read it.
Oh, you have? Okay, perfect. Yep.
It is the last comics based off of like the old comics that were released, I guess, in the early days of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So it kind of concludes that story. But anyways, there's one turtle left in the future, and he's basically the last Ronin. And you find out that the turtles, the other brothers got killed somehow, and you're kind of along for the story of figuring out, like, what happened and
right.
less than that, yeah.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like, even just kind of looking at the, you know, the picture that they have for the story header for the news articles and stuff, you know, they have kind of a, the picture of the cover.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's, I guess I don't know which turtle it is. I don't know if that's a spoiler or not, but, you know, he has all the weapons of his brothers too.
Yep.
He's carrying all of those weapons.
He sure does. Yeah, he has all of his brother's weapons. And yeah, if I told you who it is, it would spoil it. So
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was kind of wondering why you kind of tiptoed around that a little bit when you were describing it. Mm-hmm. So that is really good to hear.
Yeah.
And I was just reading this, and I completely forgot what it said already. So it's. Apparently going to be adapted by Kevin Eastman, who is one of the original writers.
Cool.
And Tom Waltz.
Okay.
Who has done a lot of, or has done a few video games for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay.
So he did the 2014 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game and the 2016 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutants in Manhattan video game.
Okay.
He also did Silent Hill Downpour.
Okay.
And then Ghostbusters Sanctum of Slime in 2011.
I've heard that game is very good. Okay.
So he is writing or co-writing The Last Ronin.
Cool. Okay.
With one of the original creators.
Kevin Eastman. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, very much so. So, yeah, that should be definitely a darker.
Most definitely.
Darker take. And, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see.
Very much so, yeah. I'm very intrigued by that because I know like the comic is very gritty, very bloody. So
hopefully not too scary.
I don't think it'll be that scary.
That's good to hear.
Especially for like a movie, you know. That's the worst segue.
It was. That's right, though. But that's what we're known for. So we have we apparently have a new scary movie in the works.
Okay.
You know, the what are they called?
Like parodies?
Yes, thank you. I tell you, I am like not awake today. It's not good.
No worries.
But yeah, so the series of parody movies, scary movie, is apparently getting a new one.
Okay.
Don't know if it's a reboot per se or like if they are going to be bringing back any of the original cast.
Mm-hmm.
But one person, I did read something that was like, you know what would be hilarious? If Melissa Barrera came in and did Scary Movie.
I would love that.
Yes. Just because I'm sure a lot of people know already, but Melissa Barrera was actually fired from the Scream franchise for basically voicing her position of, you know, quit killing Palestinians.
Yep.
And so she got basically fired from Scream for that. And everybody's like, yeah, that would be hilarious if she now went to Scary Movie.
Do we know if it's going to be like if there's any directors attached or anything like that?
We have a producer.
Okay.
But I don't think we have really anything else. But it says to expect it in 2025.
Okay. So I was just wondering if it was going to be like the first two when it was the Wayans brothers, or if it would be like the other ones with, who was it directed? I think it was David Zucker. I think that's who it was, but yeah, he did the other, I think three, I think they're up to five now.
2013 was Scary Movie 5.
Okay.
Yeah. Dang, you're good, man. David Zucker did, the Scary Movies 3, or at least number 3 and 4.
Okay.
And 5, written by, he wrote Scary Movie 5.
Nice, okay.
But he also wrote Airplane.
He sure did, yep.
And, Naked Gun, and Top Secret. So, very much a veteran of the parody and...
Well, very much so.
All of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, we don't know if he'll be back. We don't know. We have no news on anything for it. It's just been announced. A lot of this stuff is basically going to be announced this week because CinemaCon happened. And there was a lot of news coming out of CinemaCon, but not a lot of substance with that news. So, but we do have a new scary movie in the works. And that scary movie is called The Blair Witch Project. You like that one?
Well, I mean, that is, I mean, it's not a new movie. It's like they're going to, remake this for the fourth time now?
Yeah. Well, I think this is a reboot.
Okay.
But here's the thing. And, you know, this one was kind of like, when I first heard about it, it was kind of like, do we really need one? And there's, I guess, kind of some reason in the back of my head that I couldn't really put to words that somebody else very much put to words, is that Blair Witch was a product of its time.
Sure.
Because Blair Witch first came out in, what, 99?
Yeah, some, yep.
And back in 99, the internet wasn't as big of a thing as it is.
Right.
It was still very much in what you could consider its infancy. And, you know, that was kind of one of the things of Blair Witch, was people speculating on whether or not it was real, or if it was fake, if it was found footage, if it was, you know, produced footage, if it was, you know, some sort of snuff film kind of thing.
Right.
You know, that was the big, big argument that was going on that gave it such good word of mouth.
Right.
You know, that led people to go in and watch it to see if, you know, if they could figure out if it was actually happening or if it was produced or what was going on with it. And with this one, it's like, oh, well, it's a new Blair Witch Project. Okay, cool. Sure. Right. So I think that kind of, when they said that, you know, it was very much a product of its time of, you know, not having the internet in our pockets at all times.
Right.
You know, not having, you know, these major leaks from studios of, hey, these are the projects that are coming through, or, you know, having, you know, these huge announcements from the studio saying, hey, we're making this kind of thing. I mean, they would for certain things, but for other things, it was very much kind of, you know, stuff could sneak by.
Sure.
And with this one, it's just kind of like, I don't think any Blair Witch will ever be able to recreate that.
Yeah, I don't think.
Unless it is some like super indie, like straight to, you know, DVD release kind of thing that gets this huge cult following.
The only movie that I can think of that had any sort of following like that would be Paranormal Activity. Because it was a small little movie, and then it went around onto the internet, and then it, once word of mouth came out, then everybody wanted to come see it, and it just became the most popular thing ever, and then it became like theaters were getting requests to get it and mm-hmm. all this and that. So that's the closest thing that I can think of for like Blair Witch.
Right, right.
At least these days.
There's another one that I can kind of think of. It's a little bit older,
mm-hmm.
But it very much still has a rabid following.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Rocky Horror.
Oh, okay.
You know, when it first came out, it was very kind of niche, and it didn't do very well as far as I remember.
Mm-hmm.
I should say, as far as I remember hearing, I wasn't alive at the time.
Right.
But it gained a cult following. It, you know, some theaters will have yearly screenings of it, you know, for people to come in. Mm-hmm. Same thing with The Room.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
You know, people would come in and start throwing plastic spoons at the screen for The Room. And, you know, it's just kind of one of those things where there are a few movies like that. But mm-hmm. for something like Blair Witch, Paranormal Activity, you know, that kind of stuff, just it doesn't come around all that often.
No, it really doesn't.
But, you know, like stuff like that doesn't come around all that often. Just like some comedians, you know, their type of comedy, their greatness in comedy doesn't come around all that often.
Well, of course not, because he's living in a van down by the river.
He's also a fat guy in a little coat.
That's right.
Fat guy in a little coat. So, Chris Farley. Miss him already.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's been a few years.
Right. But,
just apparently there's going to be a biopic of him with Josh Gad directing. Now, most people know Josh Gad as Olaf, right?
Right.
But he is also very much a well-known writer, you know, kind of producer. And I mean, even going back to Broadway and theater productions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think he's doing a theater production right now, too,
oh, wow. Okay.
Where every night they have a new famous person come in and be the producer at the end of the show, because It's basically they're trying to get a show out into the world kind of thing. And, you know, they had like Tom Hanks come in. They had, I forget who it was. I think the Corn Kid came in on one time.
Okay. All right.
It's Corn.
Yep.
I think. But if you actually listen to him talk and stuff like that, mm-hmm. like, I think that he'll do pretty darn good. His acting credits can be a little dubious.
Mm-hmm.
Pixels, anybody?
God, what's that one that he did with Chris, with Kevin Hart? Is like The Wedding. It's like something with The Wedding, but where like Josh Gad hires Kevin Hart as like a wedding liaison or something like that.
I know what you're talking about. It's
not The Wedding Planner, because that's Jennifer Lopez.
The Wedding Ringer.
That's it.
But yeah, I mean, like, even just kind of going into some of his stuff, he was in Murder on the Orient Express,
mm-hmm.
which I think he was very kind of understated in that movie.
Sure.
And so that was great. He was in Artemis Fowl in 2020.
Okay.
And that one was interesting.
You were so big on that movie for so long, and then,
I know,
until it came out.
I still like it.
Okay.
I still like it.
All right.
He was Muncher in Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Was he really? I didn't, no idea. Okay.
Yep. And then, let's see here. I'm just trying to think of what else we have. Well, I mean, obviously, Beauty and the Beast too. He was LeFou.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We talked about Frozen, Frozen 2, Frozen 3 in production.
Right.
Pre-production. But yeah, I mean, he has quite a few things. I'm tentatively optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really seen much with the person that they have who will be playing Chris Farley.
Okay.
That's Paul Walter Hauser.
Yep.
Which they're going to have to do a lot to make him look like Chris Farley, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He looks more like Farva in Super Troopers.
Okay, yeah, I could see that too, sure. I mean, if he, unless they do prosthetics instead of him, like, gaining weight.
Well, I mean, like, I think right now he's still a little bigger too. Or did he slim down?
He's been slimming down because he's been training to do like a wrestling match.
Okay.
Because I know he's going to be doing that, I think, sometime in like May or June or something like that, I think.
Okay. Okay.
Which blows my mind, but hey, whatever.
Yeah. But yeah, Paul Walter Hauser, Travis. Yep. If you want to kind of explain his background too.
So he is in Cobra Kai. Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, I can't remember his name in Cobra Kai, but he is kind of the older adult that joins the Cobra Kai group, and not very many people like him, but he kind of redeems himself towards the end of the season where he premieres, and then he becomes a fan favorite in the other seasons.
So Raymond?
Yeah, Stingray? Yep, Stingray, yes. His name's Stingray. And then he was Richard Jewell in Richard Jewell, the Clint Eastwood movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I know he's been in a few other things, too.
He was Horace in Cruella.
Oh, okay. I never did see that.
That one was pretty good.
Yeah, that's what you were saying.
I enjoyed it. I didn't watch it on a big screen or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I think I watched it on an airplane,
okay.
Honestly. But I enjoyed it, you know, for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then... He's also in Orion in the Dark.
Okay.
Which is an animated one. He's the voice of Dark.
Okay.
Where a boy with an active imagination faces his fears on an unforgettable journey through the night with his new friend, a giant smiling creature named Dark.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So we have that coming in.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
That one seems kind of forced, man. Go right to jail. So, a Monopoly movie is in the works with Margot Robbie making it.
She's making it? So, as in directing?
I think she is a major producer for it.
Okay.
I don't know how this would be a good movie. I really don't. But yeah, it seems like nobody else really can figure out. You know, it's unclear how Robbie and company will plan to spin a narrative story from the two-dimensional world of Monopoly, and then who will play the game's mascot, Rich Uncle Pennybags? Will they pass go? Will they collect $200?
I wonder if she'll be like some sort of like real estate agent of some sort.
Maybe.
That's
real estate, Barbie.
Real estate Barbie, ha. Huh?
Crossover?
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to spend that, but I guess we'll find out.
Exactly. We will. But I don't know. We could have that crossover. We could have some other action figure crossovers.
Mm-hmm.
You never know.
Right.
Like one crossover I know a lot of people wanted is the crossover between the G.I. Joe franchise and the Transformers franchise.
Indeed.
Oh, hey, look at this. We have some news. apparently, that is officially in the works. We now have a G.I. Joe Transformers franchises crossover.
Okay.
Whether or not Channing Tatum will be in it, we'll see. Shia LaBeouf, we'll see.
Well, I mean, they did kind of tease it at the ending of... what's the one that just recently came out?
Was that Snake Eyes or something?
No, Transformers.
Oh, Transformers.
Transformers.
Age of Extinction, no. Rise of the Beasts.
Rise of the Beasts, yes.
Yes, okay.
I was going to say it's the one with the Maximals.
Yes, with the beasts.
Yep.
Where they rise up.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how they got the name of the movie. it's going to be one of those days, man. It's going to be one of those days.
I love it.
So... yeah, we have a crossover coming in. Apparently, Steven Spielberg will be executive producing the new film.
Okay.
Nobody's really attached yet, but it says nobody is attached despite the idea being hatched by filmmaker Steven Caple Jr. in Rise of the Beast.
Okay. They should get Michael Bay back. Explosions.
Autobots, roll out.
Yep. It's just the credits, man.
yeah. I don't know. We'll have to see how that all goes. I know a lot of people, like I said, were kind of looking forward to that, but that was also how many years ago now?
Very true. I mean, gosh. Yeah, it's been a few. Well, I mean, Rise of the Beast came out last summer, so.
Mm-hmm.
Last June, actually, so.
Right.
Yeah.
But people have been wanting this, I think, since the first Transformers movie.
Yeah, gosh, I would even say even around when the first G.I. Joe came out, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the first G.I. Joe came out in what? Because I thought Transformers was first.
Transformers was definitely first.
Because that was 2007.
What, G.I. Joe had to have been like 2010? Oh, 9.
But yeah, no, G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra was 2009 with Magic Mike. And and also it was Robin was in there too. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah. Because he was Cobra Commander.
He was.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Oh, wasn't it? Wasn't Dennis Quaid in it too?
He was.
He was like the general too.
He was the head of G.I. Joe's. Of the G.I. Joes.
And then they had G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra, and then they...
Yeah, that was the first one.
Okay, and then what was the second one called?
It was Retaliation.
Because then they had the spinoff with just Snake Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that yep. And the second one has Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yep, and they kill off Channing Tatum in the first 5 minutes.
Right.
Because he did not want to be part of it.
Right. Gosh, and that has Bruce Willis in it, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Aw.
And I remember when he shoots his gun out of the trunk. Weird.
Yeah, a little bit. So, yeah, we have that coming in. You know, this is kind of the origin of how the Transformers and G.I. Joes started working together or fighting against each other. I don't know. We'll have to see how it goes.
Well, let's boldly go where no man has gone before.
Yes. Star Trek Origins, or the Star Trek Origin movie, I should say, that is coming out,
mm-hmm.
apparently is going to be set decades before the 2009 film.
Okay. All right.
So here's my problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
How many decades are we talking about? And if it's like 2-3 decades before that, who are we going to have play Chris Hemsworth's character?
It better be Chris Hemsworth.
I don't think he can't play that character anymore.
Oh, true. Mm-hmm.
Unless they digitally de-age him.
True, yeah.
Because it has been 15 years.
Gosh.
Since the Star Trek reboot came out.
Gosh, Star Trek 2009 was so good.
It was. It was very lens flary.
It was.
But
that was Abrams at the time, though.
Yes.
So.
Yes, it very much was. But we got Chris Pine, we got Zachary Quinto, we got Judge Dredd, Carl Urban.
Yep.
We had Anton Yelchin.
Unfortunately. Oh, yeah.
Sad to see, sad to...
Zoe Saldana.
Zoe Saldana was there, too. And then we had Harold.
Oh, yeah, as Sulu?
Yeah.
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 Oh, my.
Oh, my. But, yeah, I remember... So basically, like, years and years ago...
Mm-hmm.
When the new Star Wars was coming out, me and my dad had gone through and watched all the Star Wars. Okay. Or, like, I mean, even before that, we had gone through and watched all 6 Star Wars in one day.
Okay.
We just kind of, every couple of years or something, we would make a day of it and just shoot through all of them. And then, like, Star Trek came through, and we watched all of the Star Trek. And then the movie came out, and we're like, okay, we have to go see this. So we went and saw it in the theaters, and that was just, like, mind-blowing.
Right.
It was so great.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the new Star Wars came out, and we went to watch the new Star Wars. Oh, man, just great memories with all of that. So to see where they're going to be going with this origin movie will be very interesting.
Right, yeah.
But, basically going from one nerd culture in Star Trek to another nerd culture in Superman.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We have a biopic, or not a biopic, a documentary, basically, coming out about Christopher Reeves. It's called Superman, the Christopher Reeves story. And I know it was a documentary that was made. It was released in some film festival. I don't remember which one.
Mm-hmm.
But then it was actually purchased for distribution rights and everything like that. So now it'll be coming to theaters in September.
Okay.
But yeah, so basically, like, I don't know exactly what this documentary is about. I mean, it's about, Christopher Reeve becoming Superman.
Right.
But basically, I know that you know, kind of the story behind it is that he actually had auditioned, I think, multiple times to be Superman, and they did not want him. And so he kind of beefed up himself to become Superman and then went and auditioned again and became Superman.
Okay.
And, you know, and just kind of going back and watching some of his stuff, you know, like how he could be, you know, mild-mannered Clark Kent, where basically he was always, you know, kind of hunched over and very meek and mild. And then as soon as he became Superman, you know, his chest went out, his shoulders went back, he stood up straight, you know, he became Superman.
Right.
You know, and so it was very much a, oh yeah, no, I can definitely tell, you know, how people could not, or could, you know, will themselves into not believing that Clark Kent is Superman.
Sure. Right.
Even though you never see him in the same spot at the same time.
Right. good old Superman.
And Clark Kent is very, very ripped for a reporter.
Right.
We'll have to see how it all goes. But basically, it does feature never-before-seen home movies and personal archives to reveal how Reeve went from an unknown actor into the iconic movie star.
Okay.
So that should be fun.
Now, I don't remember. Did he get into the accident while he was filming, like, one of the Superman movies? Or was that, like, after?
I think it was after.
Okay. So I couldn't remember if it was during the filming of one of them or what.
Right. So it happened in 1995.
Okay.
And he was taking part in an equestrian competition.
Okay.
So let me double check this here quick. Yeah, it doesn't look like he was.
Okay.
But I know one of the stories that he would always tell is, you know, after he had his accident, you know, he was in the hospital and everything like that. And hold on, let me see if I can actually get the story here.
Okay.
So basically, you know, and Robin Williams and Christopher Reeves were very good friends. I think they were actually classmates as well.
Okay.
And so after Christopher Reeve had his accident, you know, Robin Williams went to go visit him, came into the room as a doctor and sported a thick German accent. And then he insisted that Christopher Reeve turn over and have an exam, a proctology exam. And Reeve was really, really surprised, couldn't figure it out. Then he finally realized that it was his friend, and they had a great laugh, and it was like his first laugh after his accident.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
So, you know, basically, like, you know, Robin Williams wanted to be there for his friend, you know, wanted to make sure that, you know, and he was there and, you know, did what he could to help him. And so he came in as a German doctor waiting or looking to do a proctology exam on Christopher Reeve after his accident.
Wow. So he was Patch Adams before he was even Patch Adams. That's awesome.
Exactly. So, yeah, basically it'll be very interesting to see. They might even go into that in the documentary too, which would be very, very cool to see.
Very cool, yeah.
But we'll see how it all goes.
Definitely, okay.
Going from Christopher Reeve to Keanu Reeves.
Whoa.
Apparently, Keanu Reeves has joined Sonic 3 as Shadow.
Nice.
So this is another thing that kind of happened at CinemaCon, where basically they showed a snippet of Sonic the Hedgehog 3, which we don't get to see, obviously, because we're, you know, we're peasants.
Right.
They announced that Keanu Reeves has joined the cast as Shadow.
Okay.
So that should be very fun to see, very fun to watch. You know, Idris Elba is back, Jim Carrey is back. I can never remember his name is back. And then I can never remember her name that plays Tails is back. Colleen something or other.
Okay.
I think she was the original voice of Tails in the video game, or the TV show, sorry.
Right.
Not the video game. But Ben...
Ben Schwartz?
Ben Schwartz, thank you. Yeah. He's back as Sonic. But we shall see how it all goes. We have a new Sonic on its way.
So, what was I going to say? I know Sonic, like, but my knowledge of Sonic doesn't go past Knuckles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, like, with Shadow, I have no idea who this guy is.
He is evil.
So he's evil Sonic?
Sure.
So I just figured that's what, like, what Knuckles was at first. But that's when I was a kid, though.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, there's more substance now, so.
Yes. So we'll see how this all goes, but
okay.
You know, we'll catch Sonic running into theaters.
Right. All right.
Just like we'll catch Glenn Powell in this next movie.
Sure will.
He is going to be in the remake of The Running Man.
Ooh, okay.
Directed by Edgar Wright.
Nice.
Bringing it back.
I like it.
So, I mean, basically, I don't know if this is going to be a remake of the movie or if this is going to be an original kind of take on the novel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think they're basing it more off the novel and not necessarily the movie,
mm-hmm.
which is fine by me. You know, the movie is 80s camp.
Right, sure.
You know, we'll have to see how this all goes. So apparently... Get this.
Mm-hmm.
Edgar Wright and Michael Bacall, who helped him write their adaptation of Scott Pilgrim versus the World,
mm-hmm.
also co-wrote this story.
Ooh. Okay.
And then Bacall will write the script. Edgar Wright will not write the script. He'll
mm-hmm.
direct.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously. Okay. Sure, sure.
So Bacall will write. Wright will direct.
Okay. So everything will be right with the world?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cool.
Based off of the King's novel.
Nice.
So we'll see how it all goes. So that is on its way. Glenn Powell has been doing a lot of supporting characters.
He has, yeah.
But now he's going to do his first, you know, kind of real action starring role.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how this all goes.
I like it. I look forward to it.
Fantastic. Speaking of people joining in on stuff,
mm-hmm.
Julianne Moore is going to be joining in with James McAvoy into a action thriller movie called Control.
Ooh, okay.
Now, this one is weird because it's actually based off of a podcast.
What?
I know. Where it revolves around troubled Dr. Conway, who's being played by James McAvoy,
mm-hmm.
who wakes up one morning to the sound of a mysterious voice in his head. With his reality now in question, the voice makes a series of escalating demands he must follow or devastating consequences will unfold. We don't know who Julianne Moore will be playing,
mm-hmm.
What this article is saying is that they hear that it will be a pivotal character with which the Doctor must contend.
Hmm. Okay.
So we'll see how that all goes. That should be interesting.
Most definitely. I haven't heard of Julianne Moore in forever. So.
I mean, she was.
Was she in something recently?
Was she not in? She was in Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh.
She was Heidi Hansen.
Okay. I never did see that.
I thought you did.
I never did. I wanted to, but I never did.
Okay. The Woman in the Window.
Oh, okay.
I thought she was in... Yeah. Yeah, she was. Kingsman. Golden Circle.
How could I forget? Okay, sure. I was like, yep, she was the bad guy.
I thought... I was like, that was Julianne Moore, right? No. I'm not going crazy, am right? I? And then Suburbicon with Matt Damon.
Oh, yeah.
That was a weird... Weird movie.
It really was, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a Coen movie directed by Clooney.
Mm-hmm.
So, Julianne Moore coming in with James McAvoy. Mm-hmm. That'll be interesting.
Most definitely.
With the caliber of actor that Julianne Moore is and the caliber of actor that James McAvoy is, should be fun.
Most definitely. I look forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of good caliber actors,
mm-hmm.
Dave Bautista. Is going to be joining in or has joined in for the animated Aang the Last Airbender movie. So this is not the live action Netflix series. This is not the live action Shalamalamanda movie. this is an animated movie that's coming in from the original creators of the TV show.
Okay.
You know, I think we talked about it before where they were coming in with two or three movies.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be one of them. Dave Bautista has joined in. We don't know which character he's going to be playing, but he's going to be playing a pivotal character is what they're saying.
Okay.
We don't know who they're going to be playing, anything like that, but it should be interesting to see.
Okay.
If you enjoyed, you know, Avatar, Last Airbender, and all of that kind of stuff.
I only like it for a Shyamalan. Just joking. Please don't send your hate mail.
I'm not ready for that yet, so I won't say anything. So yeah, we have that movie coming in. We also have some more news here with Haley Steinfeld.
Okay.
Which I don't know. I'm sure you know, but Gwen Stacy in the Spider-Verse movies.
What?
I know. Apparently, she has joined in to the Ryan Coogler, Michael B. Jordan supernatural thriller that has started filming.
Okay.
Don't know character, don't know really any story, anything like that. Just know that she has joined in.
Okay. I really enjoy her acting.
Mm-hmm.
She's just fun to watch.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll see how this all goes. It should be fun.
Definitely. We'll just go down that rabbit hole, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we got to figure out who we're going to call, too. So, Ernie Hudson.
Good call.
Has been cast in a movie called Oswald Down the Rabbit Hole, which is going to be a horror movie, apparently.
Okay.
So this one will be all you, Travis.
Interesting.
Yes. But basically, Ernie Hudson will play Oswald Jebediah Coleman, a brilliant animator who is cast away to a bone-chilling magical prison. Yeah, very, very strange. Okay. Basically, it reads, after over 100 years of being trapped there, Oswald's come-to-life cartoon rabbit is menacing, gruesome, and out for blood.
Interesting. I'm intrigued.
It'll be strange to see.
Most definitely. Ernie Hudson is a very underrated actor.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
And he's been in a lot of things that you just, like, you may not have noticed him in at first, but then you're like, oh, yeah, that is him, isn't he? That was Winston from Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, but yeah, basically, that right there is the last of our casting news of a lot of our news.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything you want to add to any of that kind of stuff?
I don't have anything to say.
All right. Well, then let's go into our trailers, which we have a couple here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first one's kind of a joke, but first trailer that we have for this week is Joker, Folie à Deux. I have to every time.
Folie à Deux.
It's like Shia LaBeouf.
Yep.
It's Folie à Deux. But yeah, Joker Folie à Deux. We have the new trailer for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to feel about this one.
Yeah, I love Joker. I mm-hmm. did. From the sounds of it, it sounds like they're kind of making this into a musical.
Kind of. I mean, like, music was very prevalent in the first one as well.
It was.
I think it's going to be a little bit more prevalent in this one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to be a musical.
Okay.
The thing that I have an issue with is them fundamentally changing Harley's origin.
Okay.
Because, or at least that's what it looks like.
Mm.
Because in this trailer, it looks like Harley is another inmate.
Right.
At Arkham Asylum.
And she was a doctor.
In the original, she was a doctor who fell for Joker
yep.
while trying to treat him.
Mm-hmm.
And basically broke him out and they've been cavorting ever since.
Right.
But yeah, with this one, it seems like she is another inmate in Arkham Asylum.
Mm-hmm.
But still seems like they either break each other out or she breaks him out. Something happens.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also that the whole, like, them dancing scene where, like, he's in his suit, got his makeup on, like, all nice and tidy and stuff like that. I just hit my microphone. Apologize. And then it, like, two cuts later in the trailer, it's them doing the same dance, but, you know, he's in his prison clothes and she's in, you know, yeah. some, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever. So it feels like this is very much going to be a, okay, is this actually happening or is it happening in his head kind of movie?
Mm-hmm.
Where the first one was definitely some of that.
Right.
But at the same time, like, there was a lot of, okay, well, this is actually happening.
Right.
You know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like we're going to be kind of going back and forth and trying to figure out if it's real or if it's just in their head.
Yeah. If it's reality or if it's Joker's reality.
Right, exactly.
So.
And also, like, those, like, polished dancing scenes. It reminded me a lot of La La Land.
Yep.
And that bugs me a lot because I hated La La Land. But I will get past it because I do like Joker, and I will give this one a chance.
If you enjoyed La La Land, go ahead and let us know by visiting us at Facebook or facebook.com/moviesarething. We also on Twitter and Instagram at moviesarething. No spaces, dashes, slashes, anything like that. At moviesarething. Let Travis know how wrong he is. So.
believe me, I hear it every day that word because Zach tells me because that's like his favorite movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Okay, one of them, I should
say. Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, that brings us to our next trailer, which was almost more of a teaser than a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And that is another trailer for Kinds of Kindness. This is by the same director that gave us Poor Things.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the other trailer when it dropped as well. This one is still very weird.
I still don't know what's going on.
I still don't know anything about what's going on.
Right.
But it just kind of gave us more of the cast,
mm-hmm.
Or more of a look at the cast in the movie.
Right.
So we'll have to see how this all goes. With this trailer, it was literally just like, here's this person, here's this person, here's this person, here's this other person.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go back to this other person. Okay, we're now back to the first person, now we'll go to the third person. Okay. And it's like, sweet, thanks.
Right.
And now we go back to the first person dancing, and we're done.
Right.
I mean, that was the trailer, right?
Pretty much.
But,
and then, like, multicolored kinds of kindness.
Yep. Yes, very, very 70s-esque.
Mm-hmm.
70s, let's all go to the movies-esque.
Yep.
Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. Or I should say, let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves a snack. Yes, that one. But yeah, so we have that trailer, teaser,
mm-hmm.
One of those words. Speaking of myself not being able to speak, our next trailer is Speak No Evil, which we're going back to James McAvoy, and we are going to once again sing his praises.
Oh, that McAvoy, I tell ya, he
does creepy so well.
He does.
Like, love him as Professor X,
mm-hmm.
You know, loved him in Wanted.
Yep.
But him as creepy, character in Split, characters, mm-hmm. I guess I should say, in Split Glass, as a very creepy dad in Speak No Evil.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of, ooh, gave me the heebie-jeebies.
Is he the dad, though? Because it almost seems like he's, like, he is, but he isn't. Almost like they can't really tell if it's really him or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there must be something else going on that we don't know yet from the trailer.
Right.
Which, I mean, that's good that we don't know everything, because then it would just ruin. So.
Yeah. I am fine with that.
Me too.
But yeah, so this is very much a... that was her, wasn't it? Sorry, I just saw... one of the names in the movie, Mackenzie Davis.
Okay.
I just realized that was her from Terminator.
Mm-hmm. The Terminator.
Yeah. And I probably more than likely definitely will not be seeing this one.
Really? Aw.
I know. I just, I as much as I loved, like, Split,
mm-hmm.
and as much as James McAvoy is, like, I want to watch most every movie that he's doing,
mm-hmm.
just because I feel like he is that good of an actor. I don't know if I could.
Okay.
We'll have to see how this all goes. This one obviously is going to be rated R. Like, it's not coming out until September.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I could almost see this one being a PG-13 or maybe.
Even with the end of that trailer with the kid going.
True. Mm. I feel like it's just going to be like a jump scare more than anything. It's not going to be like grotesque horror or anything like that. I don't think. I could be wrong. Okay, we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. That right there is the end of our trailers.
Hmm.
Do you have anything else you want to say about any of those trailers, Travis?
I got nothing.
All right. Well, I do have something that people should visit us at Facebook. We're at Facebook.com. We're at Facebook.com/MoviesAreAThing. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at MoviesAreAThing. No spaces, dashes, slashes, anything like that. At MoviesAreAThing. Come on by and say hi. I told you, I can't speak today, man.
You got it. You are just fine.
No, I'm not.
Just fine.
So that brings us to the movies that are premiering this week. The first movie that we have is Abigail. This one is rated R and will be in theaters. After a group of would-be criminals kidnap the 12-year-old ballerina daughter of a powerful underworld figure, all they have to do is to collect a $50 million ransom is watch the girl overnight. In an isolated mansion, the captors start to dwindle one by one, and they discover to their mounting horror that they are locked inside with no normal little girl. IMDb has this one at a 6.4 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes is sitting at an 81%, and Metacritic is sitting at a 64. There we go.
I know you're not going to watch this.
I am not going to watch this one.
I know you have no interest in this. So I will watch this one with open arms and a happy smile on my face because I really want to see this.
Yeah.
I really enjoy when it's the mixture of comedy and horror, like in the realm of Ready or Not or You're Next. This gives me those vibes of that it's going to be like lighthearted, funny, but then also it's going to have those, oh my gosh, that's messed up.
Right, right.
Also too. So I really look forward to this.
Yeah. And I mean, this one has Catherine Newton in it.
It does, yeah.
Yep. Well, she's the main one.
Mm-hmm.
From Detective Pikachu.
From Detective Pikachu, she was...
she was in...
that one with Vince Vaughn.
Freaky.
Freaky, yes, thank you.
She was also Cassie in Quantumania.
Yep, that's right.
And then the TV show Big Little Lies.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was one of the, I think, main characters in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lisa Frankenstein recently.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
So, I don't know. I think I really like her acting, too.
I do, too.
You know, for the movies that she has been in, it works.
Mm-hmm.
It for me, it does. You know, it works.
Definitely.
It also has Dan Stevens in it, who we were talking about last week with the one trailer where the family goes to that resort or whatever to move in. Whereas, like...
I'm trying to think.
Why are we here? Ask him why we're here. You were meant to be. Who even says that?
That's right. Okay, yep.
So Dan Stevens. And then Alicia Weir is playing Abigail.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. She was Matilda in the Matilda musical.
Oh, okay. I never did see that. Did you watch that one?
I wanted to. I just never had a chance to.
It's on my list of things I want to watch.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, yeah, she's going to be Abigail in Abigail.
Cool.
But, yeah, have fun watching that.
I certainly will. It's going to be a good time.
But that brings us to our next movie, which is The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. This one is rated R and will be in theaters. Based on the recently declassified files of the British War Department and inspired by true events, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare is an action comedy that tells the story of the first ever Special Forces organization formed during World War II by UK Prime Minister Winston Churchill and a small group of military officials, including author Ian Fleming. The top-secret combat unit, composed of a motley crew of rogues and mavericks, goes on a daring mission against the Nazis using entirely unconventional and utterly ungentlemanly fighting techniques. Ultimately, their audacious approach changed the course of the war and laid the foundation for the British SAS and modern Black Ops warfare. IMDb has this one at a 7.8 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes Metacritic did not have a score.
I'm really excited to see this one, too.
Same.
It looks like Inglourious Bastards.
Mm. Guy Ritchie-fied?
Yep, Guy Ritchie instead of Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah. I was watching something, and basically it was Alan Ritchson doing an interview and Henry Cavill doing an interview.
Okay.
And they were asked about each other kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Alan Ritchson is like, oh, Henry is great. You know, he's always like the first one there. He's always, you know, well prepared. He's always doing all of this. And it goes back to Henry Cavill. And he's like, Alan's never prepared. And Alan never does anything. I mean, he's pretty much a weakling. Just and then at the end, he's like, I'm sorry, I can't keep going with that. Alan's great. He's amazing.
Oh, Henry Cavill.
Yeah, no, but yeah, so we got Henry Cavill, we got Alan Ritchson, we've got Cary Elwes looking like John Cleese.
He does, yep.
I think we had, who else did we have in it?
Oh gosh, it's got Matt Damon.
Henry Golding. I mean, honestly, other than that, I don't know too many of these names. Okay, that is on me. But should be fun here.
Definitely. I look forward to it.
Very much so. But that does bring us to our next movie, which is Villains Incorporated. This one is rated PG-13 and will be in theaters. After the death of their superpowered villainous boss, low-level hench people Beatrix, Kane, and Harold are left destitute. Beatrix is determined for them to strike out on their own and take over the world by any means necessary. IMDb has this one at a 7.6 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic did not have a score for this one. This one looks fun.
It does look like a lot of fun.
I mean, like, it looks like a matinee, rainy day fun.
Definitely. Almost like you would turn on the TV. Like, I'm going to say, like, mid-90s, you're going to turn on the TV. It's around, like, noon, 1 o'clock. You're turning on Channel 9, and you're like, I want to watch something. And then they're like, oh, it's the afternoon movie, and I can picture this playing at that time.
Yeah. No, I'm yeah. Yeah, I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
Which, I mean, that's not a knock on it.
No,
I mean,
no, yeah. Not at all.
It does look very good.
It's not a, you know, $250 million blockbuster, you know, summer blockbuster kind of movie.
Right.
But I can definitely see this being a movie that people can go back and watch and watch and watch.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, whether that's here at the theater or, you know, on a streaming service or just pop in the DVD or Blu-ray or what have you.
Right.
And just, you know, have a lazy Sunday of it kind of thing.
Exactly. Well, Blu-ray, that's almost ancient to people now, too. So
it's coming so back, sad, man. It's coming back.
Right.
Well, unless Best Buy has their way.
Right.
So that one is definitely one that I feel like I didn't even know that it was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's one that a lot of people can go and just enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And it has Colin Mochrie in it.
Exactly. You can't go wrong with that because he's fantastic.
Exactly. Exactly. Our next movie might not be the cup of tea for some people.
Yeah.
And that is Sasquatch Sunset. This one is rated R and will be in theaters. In the misty forests of North America, a family of Sasquatches, possibly the last of their enigmatic kind, embark on an absurdist, epic, hilarious, and ultimately poignant journey over the course of 1 year. These shaggy and noble giants fight for survival as they find themselves on a collision course with the ever-changing world around them. IMDb has this one at a 5.9 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes is sitting at a 75%, and Metacritic is sitting at a 64.
The only real person in this that we know of is Jesse Eisenberg, right?
No, there was some other ones. That was just kind of the big name.
Okay.
Because Riley Kauf.
Okay.
Kauf. I don't know if that's how you actually pronounce their name. She was capable in Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And then Melly Logan in Logan Lucky.
Okay.
So she is in it. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesse Eisenberg, obviously, we talked about. And then Nathan Zellner is in it, too. And then Krzysztof Zajac Dinek. I really don't know any of his stuff. He was a dancing munchkin in Oz the Great and Powerful.
Okay.
And then he's Ike the Spike Statler in Twin Peaks, the TV show from 2017.
Nice, okay.
And then I believe Nathan Zellner. Interesting. Okay, so it says he did visual effects for Sasquatch Sunset. But then, yeah, he was part of Rooster Teeth.
Okay.
So I know we kind of, I think we talked about them a little bit when they were closing down shop. Kumiko the Treasure Hunter from 2014. I don't know if that sounds familiar. I don't remember.
I think that's a video game.
Nope.
It's not? Okay. Then I was way off.
It's a jaded Japanese woman discovers a hidden copy of Fargo on VHS, believing it to be a treasure map, indicating the location of a large case of money.
Hmm.
It's an interesting thought or interesting premise.
Kind of reminds me of an episode of South Park.
There you go. There you go. But yeah, it was written by David and Nathan Zellner and directed by David Zellner. So, but yeah, like I said, I think he's mostly known for Rooster Teeth stuff.
Okay.
And then now he's going to be in Sasquatch Sunset.
Okay.
But yeah, I know you were talking about,
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay. So I read that people, I can't remember if they were either walking out or they've just been like getting sick, but apparently the movie is very gross.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can see that. I mean, especially with the trailer that we watched for it. It very much wasn't a family-friendly movie. Mm-hmm.
Right, right.
I mean, I think there was the one scene where it was basically, you know, the four of them and they were all having sex or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, they chose a good weekend to release this on the high holiday, so.
There you go. There you go. And so we do have that coming out this week here. Our next movie is Hard Miles. This one is rated PG-13, and it will be in theaters. Hard Miles tells the uplifting true story of the bicycling team of at Rite of Passage's Ridgeview Academy, a medium security correctional school in Colorado. The film follows beleaguered coach Greg Townsend as he rounds up an unlikely crew of incarcerated students for a seemingly impossible bike ride from Denver to the Grand Canyon. As the beginner bicyclists battle heatstroke, speed wobbles, and the great enemy of all cyclists, a chafed crotch, they must learn to stop fighting and ride together as a peloton. The bicycle serves not just as a means of transportation, but as a test, a way for each of these young men to see what they are truly capable of, physically, mentally, and emotionally. As caring social worker Hattie attempts to be the voice of reason, coach Greg Townsend pushes the boys to their limit, and cracks begin to form in the peloton. Ultimately, Greg's words will ring hollow unless he can apply his coaching advice to his own life and make amends with his dying father. In the sweltering desert, the boys reach a crossroads and must decide whether to continue down the path of least resistance or take agency of their futures and pave the way to forgiveness. IMDb has this one at 8.5 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes Metacritic did not have a score for this one. Whew, that was a lot.
Yeah, that seemed like it. That was quite the journey that we went on that one.
Right, right. That was quite the hard miles we put on the bike there.
It sure was. So it has Matthew Modine.
It does.
It has Sean Astin.
It does.
God, I can't remember the other person.
Cynthia K. McWilliams is Hattie.
Mm-hmm.
Stanley from The Office.
Yeah, Stanley. That's it. Yep.
Leslie David Baker.
Yep.
Is in it. And then we have a lot of other people in it. Like one of the kids looked really familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Jackson Kelly.
Okay.
He is Grant Collins in Chucky, the TV show.
Okay.
And apparently he was Peter in a Witch Mountain TV series from I don't know when. But he was also in VHS 99 as Caleb.
Okay. Never did see that, but okay.
I thought you did.
Nope.
Oh, my apologies.
No, you're good.
But yeah, so this one has a lot of people that I don't really know the names of.
Okay.
Other than, you know, obviously Sean Astin, Matthew Modine, Leslie David Baker.
Mm-hmm.
This one looks interesting. I mean, it's another sports movie. It's kind of like the golf movie we had last week.
Oh, yeah, The Long Shot, yeah.
Long Shot, mm-hmm. Yep. Where I could see it being nice to go watch to kind of get that heartwarming story at the end, you know, see the hardships that they go through, everything. I just don't think it's for me personally.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That being said, like I said, it looks like a good movie.
Yeah. Like, in my opinion, if you've seen one sports movie, you've seen them all. Like, there's always the beginning part where they're struggling and, like, you're kind of figuring everybody out. And then there's the training. And then they're, like, training to get to where they need to be. And then there's, like, a downfall to where something happens. And then there's the pick-me-up to where it ends. And they're like, oh, everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me, personally, I'm not big into, like, you know, sports movies in general.
Mm-hmm.
So this one probably isn't for me.
Sure.
That being said, if you like sports movies, if you like cycling, You know, if you have heard of this story and kind of want to see the adaptation of it, or if you just want a heartwarming story in general, you know, I feel like this is a good movie. You know, it's a PG-13, so it's going to be a little bit more, how should I say this? A little bit more risque than PG.
Sure.
Especially when they in order to prevent the greatest enemy of all cyclists, they lube up. Please don't say it like that.
With their butter.
So, we'll have to see how this all goes.
Sounds good.
But that is our last movie for this week.
Mm-hmm.
Travis, do you have anything you want to say about any of these movies?
Ooh, I can't think of anything, no.
I would like to hear your order.
Ooh, okay.
Because we had a few of them here that I know you wanted to see.
Okay. So, this is a tough one for one, honestly. I'm going to go, honestly, Abigail 1, because I love horror. Two would be Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. Three would be Villains, Inc.
Okay.
Four would be Sasquatch, and five would be Miles. So it's just the way we have it, honestly.
Very nice. Very nice. All right. Yeah, I think... Well, Abigail's not even on my list.
Sure.
Just throwing that out there. I think it might be an order for me, too, besides Abigail, and then Hard Miles, like I said, really isn't for me.
Sure.
So I think it would just be Ministry, Villains, Sasquatch.
Okay.
But we'll see how it all goes.
Sounds good. I'm going to have to find a theater that's showing Sasquatch, because I don't think we're getting it.
Really? I thought I saw it in there. I was wrong. My bad.
Okay.
But, other than that, Travis, do you have anything to say?
I don't.
Okay, well, I do.
Go for it, man.
Thank you once again, St. Michael Cinema, for sponsoring the podcast. We do really appreciate the space.
Yes, thank you very much.
And also make sure you visit us at Facebook. We're at facebook.com/moviesarething. We also on Twitter and Instagram at moviesarething. No spaces, dashes, slash anything like that at moviesarething. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/moviesarething. If you want to help support the podcast, we do have that over there. Other than that, Travis.
Yes.
I do believe it is about that time.
Here it comes.
Do, do, do. Do, do. Cue the outro! Thank you for listening to Movies Are a Thing. Be sure to tune in next week for more movies and tangents with us. So now, when we talk, it actually is like right there. Oh man, I know what I'm doing. Yeah. Okay. So, how is it recording from there? I am so confused. Okay. Well, at least we figured that out. There we go. Now it hears me. Okay. I need to refill my drink again. I see where I burped.
It registered.
It did. See, and then when I do this, it actually shows up now.
Ooh, I like it. Well, that's good. I'm glad that it's actually showing up this time.
Yeah, because like it shows up when I see, and then it shows up when I burp too, but I can't burp right now. And then it shows up when I. Careful.
Next stand.
Try to put the one leg kind of in line with the microphone, and that should...
Put your face in line with the microphone.
Ah.
There we go. Okay.
It should make it a little bit more steady.
Knees weak, arms are heavy.
Yeah. Mom spaghetti.
Whoa.
Interesting. Excuse me. I have no idea who this is. American singer and songwriter.
For who?
Eric Nam.
Oh, okay.
Based in South Korea.
Hmm.
So he's an American singer, songwriter, and television personality based in South Korea.
Interesting.
So he has also been added into this movie. So yeah,
he seems very intense.
Is there?
There it goes.
There we go. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, yeah. All right, you were a little.
He seems very intense.
We'll have to. Actually, let me double check one thing here.
You double check one thing.
I will double check one thing. Yeah, when your microphone fell, you totally typed some stuff in that thing too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Cause see your keyboard's up. Right. You want to turn your mic around?
No.
That's what you get for tightening it. Okay, there we go.
There we go.
Amateur hour over here.
All right. Now, so. Oh. That one didn't have enough force to actually disperse, so I had to disperse it myself.
Okay. Good to know.
What?
Just
what? I had
you had to, that it didn't have enough air, so you had to disperse it yourself.
I had to disperse it. Yes.
Why did you have to share it with everybody, huh?
Because better out than in, I always say.
That's very true. It's better to burp and taste it than to fart and waste it.
That'll do, donkey. That'll do. All right. That brings us to our next movie. Why did she look familiar though? I don't know why. I don't really see anything that I would have watched with her in it.
Hmm.
Okay. So.
We haven't done one of those in a while. That was good.
Do do do. Cue the outro.
Do 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 do.
Do
do.
Cue the outro.
Do 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 do.
Oh man. Okay. Dude, 2 hours.
I mean.
But that was also trying to figure out or getting everything finished up, ready, watching the trailers, trying to figure out what was going on with this.
Yep. You were refilling your pop twice.
Sheesh.
Just joking.
I'm going to be awake. It is not going to be fun, but... Ugh. All right. Hold on. I will go ahead and...
hit delete.
Bulleted. Stop.